Hi, I'm Jesse Hilbert.
Hi, I'm Charlie Hilbert.
And welcome
to Art of Mod
Adventures.
Adventure.
This is season
two,
episode
five.
The greenhouse with many legs.
With many soup legs.
Many soup legs. That's right. Today's episode brings us to the world of the greenhouse millipede.
Millipede!
The millipede.
Millipede.
Now, sometimes it's called the common millipede, or one common name that I found that was cool one, Char, the hothouse millipede. That kind of makes sense, because a greenhouse is hot.
And high fives.
Yeah, I love high fives. Now, Charlie, a millipede belongs to the subphylum Myriapoda.
Myriapoda!
Yeah. And this includes things like centipedes and millipedes.
Millipedes?
Yeah.
And ants?
No, not ants. Ants belong to insects. Yeah.
Not ants.
No, not ants. Now, the name...
We're not doing our ants to our arthropods.
Well, ants, we'll do it. We'll do an ant one soon, okay?
Yeah.
We could do it for Mama, sure. Now, the name millipede comes from the Latin word milli, meaning thousand.
Milli.
And ped, meaning foot. So its name literally means 1,000 feet. But they don't have 1,000 feet. And up until very recently, there were no actual millipedes with 1,000 legs. Now, enter the Eumelipis Persephone, a millipede found 60 meters, or roughly 200 feet, below the ground in Australia. The female of this species, Charlie, had over 1,000 legs.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Around 1,300 or 1,300 to be exact. Yeah. A huge shout out to my favorite podcast, Ologies, who I listened to their episode with diplodologist Dr. Derek Hennen, who shared all kinds of amazing facts about centipedes and millipedes. But this is where I first learned about the discovery of the 1,000-legged millipede. Now, back to our millipede, Charlie. The greenhouse millipede. The scientific name is Oxidus gracilis.
Balops.
You want to try that one? Oxidus?
Oxidus.
Gracilis.
Gracilis.
Okay. Its first name, or its genus, Oxidus, gave me trouble tracking down its meaning. But after some time, I did manage to find a great article by G. Craig Slauson, who lists out the various meaning of scientific names for millipedes found in Britain. It was here that I discovered Oxidus is a Greek word meaning sharp. The second part of its name, gracilis, is a Latin adjective meaning thin or slender. And this makes sense if you've ever seen one of these. And if you haven't, where do we look at the pictures? In the show notes, right? Yeah. And now, unfortunately, Charlie, they are not native to our home state of Connecticut or the United States. Instead, the greenhouse millipede is from Asia. And from what I can tell from the research, these creatures most likely got here through plant soils transferred from Asia. So people brought plants from Asia over to the United States. And now, Charlie, it's called the greenhouse millipede, right? Because when plants come over, a lot of times they go to greenhouses, which are like clear houses that help plants grow. And this is where they love to be. Did you know that?
No.
Well, now you know, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, it's not very big. It's not very large at all when we compare it to other millipedes. And we'll talk about some other millipedes on our podcast that are really, really big. But it can still reach around an inch long. That's pretty big. It's about 2/4. And they tend to be brown or reddish in color with a lighter cream color on their legs. The body of this millipede is made up of small body segments, and each one hosts 2 pair of legs, Charlie. So can you hold up 2 fingers on one hand and 2 fingers on the other? How many fingers is that?
1, 2, 3, 4. 4.
So that means they have 4 legs on each body segment. Yeah. Now, some species of millipedes are in the wild, and you want to know how many legs they have, but you have to count all of their body segments, and then you can count and calculate how much they have. But some of them are so small that you'd have to have a microscope.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Good job. some might all have more. But our featured millipede doesn't have any eyes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
I mean, it is okay. They don't need eyes. Because they're blind and they don't need to see. Instead, they rely on antennas. Those are like the things that come off the top of their head to navigate through life, sensing where it's going and where its next meal might come from and even what might be hurting it. Now, Charlie, this animal is a detrivore. And that means that they feed mostly on dead organic materials, so things that were once alive. So dead leaves that have fallen in the fall, or even like the animal of a dead body, body of a dead animal, maybe.
A chicken.
I mean, maybe.
Mouse.
Maybe a mouse. Now, since they are often found on the ground in leaf litter, which just means...
So can drop.
Yeah. So, sorry, Charlie, since they're often found on the ground in leaf litter, which is just dead and decaying plants, that's mostly what they eat.
And they also don't really sleep.
I don't know if we looked up that. I don't know if they sleep. I don't know if insects... That's an excellent question. We'll have to ask an entomologist that question.
Dad, we don't have one.
We can find one. Now, Charlie, Now, Charlie, they do prefer to live in moist areas. Can you say moist?
Moist.
Yeah, that means it's a little wet. And it's good for them because if you've ever found a pile of old leaves, it can be very damp in there. So that's why it's a perfect place to find them. So their preferred habitats also house their preferred food. And who doesn't like having food in their house, right? Do you?
Chickens,
yeah. You rely about the chickens today, huh? Now, they do have a great self-defense mechanism. Like so many other species, they can produce a foul-smelling odor. That means they can be stinky! Yeah. No, not like Uncle Stephen. And if they are consumed, they can be poisonous to their prey.
Ew.
Yeah.
Poisonous.
Yeah.
Gross.
So that's why most animals leave them alone and don't even try one for a snack. But just like a lot of animals, there are some animals that have evolved to be able to eat them. So I'm certain there's a creature out there who has a greenhouse millipede on its menu. Now, Charlie, the female greenhouse millipede, that means the lady one, she lays her eggs in the moist soil, which makes sense because that's where we find them as an adult. And they can lay clutches, which means groups of eggs that are over 100, Char. Is that a big number? Yeah.
It's even bigger than you.
It's even bigger than me. Now, the eggs that hatch produce baby millipedes that look exactly like their mama and papa. Just a smaller version. Kind of like when you were born, you look like a mini version of a human. And now you're big.
Yeah, I'm 4.
Yeah, you're 4.
And
yeah, soon you'll be 5. And then 10. And as they begin to eat, they begin to grow. And upon reaching a new life stage, they were curled up in mud into a mud ball to molt. And each time they molt, Charlie, they will add new segments and new legs. And in about 5 or 6 months, they will reach maturity, which means that basically they'll be adults. And this is where they will mate, and it will happen many times over their life. And one of the most interesting things I learned about their life cycle, Charlie, is that we really don't know very much about it. According to LSU's College of Agriculture, little is known about the egg and juvenile stages of millipedes. The males have a special set of legs called gonopods.
Gonopodies.
It's a funny word, right? And these are reproductive organs that the males will use to impregnate the females, which means get them pregnant so they can have babies.
Pregnant, like
yeah.
Mama.
A mama was pregnant 2 times.
Why?
Well, you and Jude. It's not a real number, but I love 5D, 5D, 6D, 100. Now, Charlie, these tiny myriapods are harmless to humans and cannot be anything more than bothersome to us. But they do tend to find their way into houses or garages, but they will not last long if the environment is dry. So if you find a lot of these in your house, if you keep that area dry, then they will just stop coming in or they'll die when they come inside. But you can also seal up your house so that they don't come in. Okay? Now, although this exact species of millipede may be an invasive species, and that means one that's just not from here, they are...
Africa.
It's not from Africa. This one's from Asia. Now, Charlie, they are good at decomposing debris, which helps bring nutrients back to our soil. So the next time you lift up a rock and stumble upon one of these greenhouse millipedes, we want to say thank you for munching down on some decomposing leaf litter and creating fresh dirt. Can you say thank you?
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have an arthropod you would love to hear about, want to tell Charlie and I what you think about the show, or found a mistake, whew, and we make a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Send us an email at arthropodadventurespodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Stay inquisitive and never stop learning.
Never stop learning.
Now, Charlie, the random fact for today is that back a few years ago, in 2020, the IUCN, the International Union for Conservation of Nature, declared that the splendid poison frog had gone extinct. And I bring that up because it's really sad when animals go extinct. That means that they're not alive anymore anywhere. And sometimes we end up finding one or two, like the whale that we talked about last week. But in this case, we have not. But I did include a picture in the show notes, so be sure to check that out.